This is a Rooster Teeth production.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Annual Pass. This is the podcast where we talk about all things related to theme parks, attractions, shows, rides, snacks, foods, upcoming news, rumors, movies, you name it. Every single thing we can think about. I am your host, Jack Patillo, and of course, I'm joined by my beautiful and lovely and talented co-host, Jeff Ramsey. Hi, Jeffrey.
Here's the problem I have with today's intro.
What happened?
You mentioned food and snacks. It is 11:40 in the morning. It is very close to lunch, and you've just awakened my tummy.
it's like the Kraken. Yeah. It's now like, feed me churros.
I hope this is a food-related episode.
This is not going to be a food-related episode, Jeff. Our episode today is a special one. It's a first. There's a lot of firsts we have happening right now. Not the first time we've gone to this park, but it's the very first stunt show we've ever talked about. We are doing the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
That's one of your favorites, right?
It is actually a fantastic show. It's a really, really good show. We'll get into it in a bit. It's awesome. It's a good thing. I thought it was an opening day thing, but it wasn't actually. But again, getting ahead of myself. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Annual Pass. It's good having you back. Thank you very much. Y'all are awesome. We love you very much. The community for Annual Pass, you guys continue to just blow us out of the water. Last week, we had a community member pop in to actually talk about Dinosaur, which was pretty cool. First time ever we've had a guest in studio, Jeff.
Not in the history of this company, but in the history of this podcast for sure. And it was, I don't use the hyphenate game changer very often, but I felt like it applied there. It was like so lovely to sit down and have a conversation face to face with somebody like that.
It was really great. And actually, now that I'm thinking of it, so, you know, we keep talking about Halloween Horror Nights. We keep talking about our friends at Universal because our friends at Universal keep reaching out to us and they are fantastic and we love them. But when we did the Incredible Hulk coaster episode from a few episodes back, I reached out to Gregory Hall, who worked on one.
He did the redesign.
Yeah, he did the redesign of it. He was also the creative director over on, or the creative producer on Velocicoaster.
Creative director, I think.
Yeah, and so super, super nice guy. And I was like, dude, you know, we might be coming back out to Orlando pretty soon. I'd love to have you sit down with us and talk about just your time being, you know, an engineer on this stuff or being a creative director on this stuff. And he said, absolutely. So we're planning to go back out to Universal in October. And so hopefully he'll have some time where we can actually get him in our their studio that we will be borrowing. So it'll be our second guest in studio, hopefully, if we can make that happen.
Do you know how, like, from time to time you meet somebody and you're just kind of like, they're instantly interesting and you just want to sit down and talk to them and have a long conversation about them and their life. And I felt that way about him.
Yeah.
I'd be really excited to get to talk to him again because he was instantly kind of fascinating and very approachable and easy to talk to. And his story was, I just got a taste of how he ended up where he was. And it was like, I was ready for more. I'm really excited to get to talk to that guy again.
Yeah. So hopefully we can use their studio out there again and actually get him in and sitting down and talking to us. So that'd be pretty great. He's G Prodigy on Twitter. If you want to follow his account, he posts some really cool stuff. He's been retweeting all the Velocicoaster stuff, which is that's awesome. He's proud of his attraction. He's got a hell of a good attraction too. That Velocicoaster is great. Hey, this is Jack coming to you from the future or something. I want to let you know, while we were recording this episode, we didn't know, but we actually have a brand new Halloween-themed Annual Pass shirt in the store right now. Store.roosterteeth.com is an awesome shirt, kind of themed around the Haunted Mansion. I love it so much. Check it out, store.roosterteeth.com right now. Grab your Halloween-themed Annual Pass shirt and wear it with pride and send me photos because I love those. Okay, back to the episode as planned.
How much a Velocicoaster cost to make? Do you know?
Do I have that? I don't know if I said. Let me check my notes. I've got a big thing of all my different episodes we did here. That was episode number 9. Wow, that feels like it's episode 9. We're on 23 right now.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Let's see here. Do I have a cost? I don't have a cost, but I'm sure Ben could look it up right now. Oh man, I'm looking through my old notes. And I've written out all the different bins and turns to talk about when we're on the coaster. Because typically when we do our ride-throughs, I watch a video and kind of narrate the ride, you know, as like a reference thing. But there were no ride-throughs yet because it had just opened when we wrote it. So, so Gregory Hall, he was the art director on Velocicoaster. So anyway, we'd love to talk to him again in the future and check him out and tell him we say hello. Don't forget, too, if you send a selfie with you and Jack the Clown for Halloween Horror Nights, I'll try to send you something at some point whenever I get the theme park maps with me. We'll mail it out. Feel free, like, if you get some good photos of you wearing annual pass merchandise at Halloween Horror Nights or any park. We have yet to get someone wearing an annual pass shirt at Tokyo DisneySea.
So
that would be cool.
Let me make sure I understand the logistics of this before you go any further.
Okay.
If someone takes a photo with Jack the Clown
yes.
in an annual pass shirt,
yes.
you'll send them one of these maps.
Yeah, yeah,
one
yeah.
of these theoretical maps that yes. I keep hearing about.
Okay. I've got a lot of them. I just got to get you to sign it.
What if 1,000 people take that photo?
Well, then I guess we'll
you better hit up eBay, huh?
Well, we're going to Orlando, hopefully, you know, in a month. I'll just grab just handfuls of them as we're walking out. Like, all right, I got reservations, or I got reserves now. So, but yeah, feel free if you have any awesome photos of you wearing annual pass stuff at a park, send it to annual_pass on Twitter and Instagram. We love seeing those photos. I love it every single time. And over on Rooster Teeth, on all the comments, you guys are absolutely fantastic. You know, we always hype up our community, but we've got a fantastic community.
It's for a reason.
It is
they
for.
Deserve the hype.
Man, I'm so excited for people to see the Halloween merchandise we have. We have some Halloween-themed annual pass stuff coming out. So, Ben, have I shown you the Halloween stuff?
I haven't seen any of it.
Where is it?
It's really fantastic.
Hey, I'm going to let Ben see it, and we can get his live reaction here on the podcast right now of our
annual. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, man.
And
okay.
That, and that.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So
I like the spider web.
The spider web thing is
spider web is very cool.
Supposedly it's going to be a pin. We'll see. But anyway, that's coming out soon, doing some teases for a new shirt and new hopefully pins coming out soon. Maybe hats. I don't know. Whatever. I just love the logo. We have a great logo.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So, Jeff, I'm exhausted.
It's probably counterintuitive to an audience member to hear this, but like doing the two podcasts back to back is actually quite exhausting.
Yeah.
And you would say to yourself, why? All you're doing is sitting down and talking with the same person that you talk to all day long anyway. It's just something about the energy and the presence of mind.
I agree. Having to talk on a podcast can be exhausting. I'm on 3 podcasts today.
I am too. I got to leave this and do the other one.
Oh, yeah.
The F one.
And I got to do the off-topic one. So. Yeah. But not only, mentally exhausted, but B, physically exhausted, because I woke up this morning at 6:30 and went and ran Town Lake because I'm training for the Disney Marathon in January.
Oh, yeah. How you were complaining about your shins.
Oh, man. So Disney Marathon, obviously 26.2 miles through the Disney parks. Have we talked about this at all? Have I told you about what I'm doing?
Tangentially, but certainly not on camera.
So Disney every year hosts a marathon that you run through the Disney parks. Typically, you start at Epcot, you run to Magic Kingdom, you run through Magic Kingdom, and then you go to Animal Kingdom, you go to Disney's Hollywood Studios, you end up back at Epcot, and you run around the Disney-owned property area.
Is it designed to be one lap?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one
That's
big lap.
Cool. That's big enough that you can do the whole thing in there. Yeah.
And so it kicks off at 5 a.m. is when the actual start time is because, you know, they give you like a lot of...
Gotta be done by 8 when the park opens up.
Well, a lot of marathons, they'll literally have a time limit. It's like you got to finish in 4 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
Disney is a little bit friendlier where you have to finish in 7 hours. So that's nice. So basically it starts at 5 a.m. You have to be done by noon. Which isn't bad, and especially this is my first time I've ever done a marathon. So
you just have to do 3 miles an hour.
No, it's
3 times 7.
It's 16-minute miles, so a little more than 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So it's like a little less than 4 miles an hour, basically. So
okay.
Yeah, and I'm excited for it. So I turned 40 on January 3rd, and the marathon is January 9th. And I figure it's like, all right, you know, turning 40 is kind of a big thing. I was like, yeah, I should try to get in some decent shape.
January 9th of next year.
Yeah.
So
I'm 4 months out.
You're 4 months out of running a full marathon.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be negative.
Let's go ahead and say jog a marathon. There's not going to be a lot of running.
How many times have you jogged thus far in preparation since you decided to do this?
Well, so in the beginning of last year, or really like through most of 2020, I kind of got back into running.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got in pretty good shape.
I remember,
Yeah, and I was having fun doing it. And then I kind of let it slide a little bit. It started getting cold. We had a massive freeze in Austin. And it kind of just, you know, as it happens, you get kind of lazy. Yeah. And so
life gets in the way.
Yeah. And so, you know, I kind of put on some COVID weight again and, you know, stopped running. And then about 2 months ago, I started getting back into it. I'm like, maybe I could do it. Like, sort of, I saw this Disney thing and I was like, maybe this would be like the perfect opportunity for me to kind of, this will be my goal. And so I started doing it. I started running again. And then I got RSV, which is a horrible virus, like respiratory virus. And that took me out of commission for 2 weeks. So that sucks. So I missed 2 weeks worth of training, which doesn't sound like a huge deal, but that's actually a pretty significant thing when every week counts.
Yeah.
But now for like the past 2 weeks since then, I've been running like every other day, pretty much, at least three times
a week.
So you're
on track.
I'm trying to.
Okay, that's great, man.
And this week, I was like, you know what? I'll try to wake up early because it's hot in Texas. So I've been waking up early, and we have Town Lake, which is downtown Austin. It's a beautiful, beautiful, you know, lake, beautiful running paths and everything. And so there is a 5K like loop you can do. And so I'm like, all right, I'll start doing that. It's just like to get myself back to it. And so I've been doing that the past few days, and I hate waking up early, but it feels good when you're done.
I'm going to keep my eye open for you because I'm down there riding my bike almost every day. So I usually go a little later, but I run 8.
Well, I'm usually done like before 8, so around 8-ish.
One piece of advice, and it may be unnecessary, but just based on some of the things I've heard you say, just because I want to set you up for the for the most possible success in this.
Okay.
Because I am 100% in your camp.
Yeah.
And
like,
Jack accomplishing this goal. You mentioned that the marathon is 26.2 miles.
Yes.
And then you refer to everything on your run in kilometers. I just want to make sure you're doing the math right in your head, because 26.2 kilometers and 26.2 miles are very different.
It's like 43K.
Okay, cool. So I'll make sure you're...
Or something along those lines.
That would be really annoying to get to 26 kilometers and realize you still have about 15 to go.
8K is 5 miles, is what it comes down to. So 5 miles, so if we're going 5 times 8, so 40. So it's 40 and change. It's like 42 kilometers is what it comes down to. It's just easier to do.
Yeah.
I've got Strava, which is like an app that tracks workouts and stuff. And so it gives me alerts every 1,000 meters. So I'm like, okay. And I kind of know, like right now I'm running about an 8.5 minute K. And that's sort of my average. And I'm like, I'm trying to get my miles. My dream, if I can get to a 10-minute mile consistently and just be able to do that, just kind of turn off my brain.
You do it 26 times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just do that 26 times. And that puts me in about 4.5 hours.
That's awesome.
But I'm like, ideally, I just want to finish in 7 hours. And I was reading, there's a Run Disney subreddit where, like, you know, people post about it. So the park's open as you're running. And so if you're wearing your bib, which is like your number, you just get into the parks. I mean, through the running thing. But like, for example, they're saying about mile 17, at least the last time they released the map. They haven't released the map for this upcoming one yet. Mile 17 is Expedition Everest, which is a roller coaster at Animal Kingdom. And people will actually stop and go ride the roller coaster and then get back and continue running. Which sounds awesome. But at the same time, I'm thinking like my legs would be like, oh, we're done. And just immediately cramp up.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
no,
I'm not going to stop. But the Disney Marathon, one cool thing is there's actually entertainment on the route. So, like, as you go, like, at mile 2, it's like, oh, there's Timon and Pumbaa. And you can, like, run off and, like, take a photo with them and then keep going. So they have, like, little, like, kind of sections and, you know, areas and stuff that pop up. And actually, very early on, you know, like, mile 5 or 6 is the Magic Kingdom. So you literally run down Main Street USA. And at that point, it's still pretty dark because it's still early. And they have the castle lit up. And they actually ask cast members to come in and like applaud people. So like you're literally like running down Main Street USA with just like hundreds of people on either side cheering you on. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. I'm actually excited for that. And so, yeah. So anyway, that's what I'm planning for right now. And we'll see how it works out. But
I'm so excited.
It's gonna be cool. I'm actually pretty pumped.
What's the most K's you've run or you've jogged without stopping thus far?
About 11.
About 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did actually.
It's about quarter of the way, a little bit more than a quarter of the way there.
This was the last time I really got into running. So like now I'm up to about 8K. Like I usually, and that's just jogging, because I'll usually walk or like another like 1 or 2K to kind of like warm up and cool down. But actual jogging, I did about 11K around my birthday this past year just to see if I could do it. And I did it.
So at 8K, you're about 20% of the way there, and you have a lot of weeks ahead of you. That's
yeah. I got 4 months. So I think, you know, I've got a friend who runs marathons for fun because he's a psychopath. And so he's like, yeah, like let's talk. And so right now I'm trying to get myself back into a shape where when I was young, if you're out there and you're young, I highly recommend running now, because as you get older, your metabolism falls to pieces and it's not nearly as fun. But when I was younger, I could run and I was decently fast. But then if I got tired, I could slow to a jog and recuperate while still jogging. Like I could catch my breath and my muscles would relax, but I was still moving faster than a walk.
It is true. And this, I would assume a lot of our audience is probably younger than Jack and I. And if you're older, you can tune this out because you already know this. but there are two things that you can do when you're younger that don't sound fun, that aren't fun, but that you will, by the time you hit the age of about 34, really appreciate yourself for. One of those is to do any kind of exercise on a regular basis when you're younger, up until you're about 30, when your body starts to slow down. Your joints, your movement, your flexibility, your core strength, all of that starts to wane, especially when you hit your 40s.
Yeah.
And any of that work you can do to stave that off, trust me, as a guy who's 46, you will appreciate it later.
Yeah.
And the other thing is start saving now. Compound interest is a big deal.
401k, man.
401k. Or IRA, Roth, traditional, whatever it is, work out in some capacity and save some amount of money, and you will thank yourself. You will thank yourself every day for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
If you do that.
God, I remember when I was, you know, in my mid 20s, and I was like, oh, I'll start running, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna run like 6 miles, just no problem.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh my God, my knees. Even right now, my legs are just screaming at me.
I ride an e-bike. You know, that's not even a lot of work, but I ride at 30 miles a day, and I'm at a point now where if I ride, I can't ride 3 days in a row.
Wow.
I can only do two, and then I have to take a day off. Today's my day off because my back won't allow me.
Yeah, I'm still at the point now where I'm running every other day, at least 3 times a week. So I do like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then cool off Sunday, Monday. Mm. But I'm at the point now where I need to start mixing in cross training. So I need to start doing like, you know, like just general lifts and like exercising throughout the week. So like not using my legs, not running, but doing more like, you know, stuff for my stomach, because the more weight you lose, the easier it is because you're running with less weight. So it's kind of this whole balance and stuff. But anyway,
if you're just tuning in and you're confused, this is Annual Pass. This is a podcast about middle-aged men trying to get back into shape.
But it's Disney shape. So it's themed around it. So if you've ever done the Disney Marathon, though, please let me know in the comments. I would love to hear about, you know, your experiences. If you have any tips, if you have any advice or anything, that would be great. If you have any photos of you there, I would love to see them.
When you cross that finish line, will that be a magic moment?
I think so, or I'll just black out.
I hope you do the thing where you immediately collapse face first.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome.
Man, we'll see. We'll see how it is. So anyway, well, hey, Jeff. So today's episode, we are doing a brand new thing. We are talking about the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular. It's the first time we've ever done a stunt show or any kind of stage show, really, on Annual Pass.
Totally different than the ride.
Totally different than the ride. The Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland is amazing.
Is it at Disney World as well or just
Land? No, just Disneyland. It only exists. There was only one of them, and it's a fantastic ride. And you've ridden it.
Well, we talked about my troubles with it last time. But yeah.
Anyway, this show, it opened on August 25th, 1989, which at the time was Disney MGM Studios. Now it's Disney's Hollywood Studios. Not an opening day attraction. I thought it was. And I need to go check. I have some of the opening day park maps. I need to see if it was actually listed on the opening day park maps, because initially the plan was to have it for opening, but due to all the sheer number of technical stuff with it and all the different things going on with the attraction, they decided to have dress rehearsals for the first few months where it wasn't a full-blown show, but they still had stuff going on. MGM's opening day was May 1st, 1989, and this opened August 25th, 1989, so about 2.5 months later.
Would that put it in, like, Temple of Doom era Indiana Jones?
The whole show is based around Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
So, I mean, at this point, I think...
Oh, it would have been around the time Temple of Doom came out, I would assume.
I thought Temple of Doom was like...
Maybe 91.
Ben's looking up the dates of them, because I want to say...
I don't think it was 91. I'm a little earlier than that.
The Last Crusade come out?
In like 93 or 94.
Was it that late?
Temple of Doom was May 8th, 1984.
Temple of Doom was 84?
Yeah, that felt right. Yeah, yeah. I knew it was like... When did Last Crusade come out?
When did Raiders of the Lost Ark come out?
81?
Last Crusade was 89.
So Last Crusade was 89. Okay. So Last Crusade had just come out.
When did Raiders of the Lost Ark come out?
Looking it up.
Was it 82?
I thought 83.
I think...
But that would be so fast for...
Lost Ark was 81.
81.
June 12th, 1981.
Raiders of the Lost Ark was 81. I was 6.
Wow, so the only three Indiana Jones movies that exist came out in the 80s. That's pretty cool.
All three Indiana Jones movies came out.
All
in
three
the
of them. The only Indiana Jones movies that exist came out in the 80s. 81, 84, and 89. So this attraction is based around Raiders of the Lost Ark. They're recreating scenes from that movie. There are three scenes in the show. It opens with the opening of the movie. And I think it's Peru, where it's like the temple where he gets in and the giant boulder stuff happens. Then it cuts to the market where him and Marion are going around and like Sal is there and stuff. And then Marion gets captured. And then it cuts to the air base at the end where the Nazis are, you know, blowing up everything and everything's bad. And the big fight with the big dude in front of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three scenes they recreate in the show.
That market scene, is that where he fights the dude with the sword and he just shoots him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's I think that's an ad lib, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's so supposedly
famous ad lib.
Supposedly Harrison Ford was sick that day. And they had this whole routine plan where it was going to be an epic fight. And Harrison is just like, can I just shoot him? And it was just like, so this guy comes out, whips his sword around, does all this big, you know, like, you know, big stuff.
Impressive karate stuff.
Yeah. And then Harrison Ford pulls out a gun and shoots the guy and he drops dead. So, which is a classic.
Iconic moment of that film franchise.
So the stunt show was overseen by George Lucas and it was directed by Glenn Randall, who is the stunt coordinator for Raiders of the Lost Ark and Temple of Doom.
Oh, that's very cool.
So the actual stunt guy who worked on those movies worked on this show to keep it as authentic as possible. It's also, the cool fact, it's the world's longest running choreographed stunt show.
And the same dude has been playing Indiana Jones the entire time?
Actually, the guy who opened it as Indiana Jones, I want to say is still involved with the show. He's been there for, I mean, God, almost 30 years at this point.
It's like his life's
over
work.
30 years at this point. Are there, or maybe there's one guy who was there for like 27 years, but he was Indiana Jones and he's moved on and now he's actually like a director of the show. So he's involved with like, you know. So Disney MGM Studios, when it opened, the idea was it's a working movie studio. And so that doesn't really exist anymore. Hollywood Studios now is kind of more like, oh, it's just attractions based around shows and stuff. This is kind of the one last holdout where it's the idea is we're showing you how we make movies.
Yeah.
So the stunt show is set up like, oh, we're filming a scene and they have a director and an AD and a sound guy and like effects guys and pyro guys. And so they're part of the show. So it's like, oh, like they, you know, bring out dollies with cameras on them and stuff.
So in some ways, it's kind of a relic of the original intent. When did that change happen?
I mean, Disney's Hollywood Studios was, I want to say 2008 or 9 is when they moved over to Hollywood Studios, but really it kind of, they slowly started picking it apart, you know. Like, I mean, it, like when it first opened with the backlot tour and the animation studio was like, they actually had the full-blown animation studio in Florida. A lot of Emperor's New Groove was made there, and a few other shows. I want to say Lilo and Stitch was made in Florida. Parts of it were.
I believe you're right. I wonder like why they, I guess it made cost effective, or
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, it's just,
or maybe that's just audiences just wanted a typical theme park experience. Maybe they overestimated how much like BTS people wanted to experience.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me personally, I love that. Like the backlot tour, like the original backlot tour when Disney MGM opened was like a 4-hour tour. Like literally you would get on a tram.
Well, that's excessive.
You get on a tram, it would start, it would take you through like literally the prop shops, it would take you through costuming. They had some sets like decorated. There was a whole backlot area where they had houses, like classic houses, so like the Golden Girls houses back there.
Is that where they filmed or is that like
No, I think it was a
replica
facade, yeah. Okay. And so it was like this whole like, you know, residential street. They drove up and down this street that was made to look like New York, and there was like a big facade at the end that made it look, it was forced perspective, so it looked like it was super long. But it was actually just a cardboard cutout. You did Catastrophe Canyon, which was like they recreated fire effects. And like it's like, oh, you're in a canyon. And there's a, you know, an earthquake happens and there's fire and there's water. And then even with that, it was like you hear the director go like, cut. And then everything starts like going back. And so the idea was like, oh, it was a set that we stumbled on. Then from there, it would go to a walking tour where they would actually take you and show you how they use props. There was the set from Home Improvement was there. They actually had like the house from Home Improvement. You could see like an above it. They had a giant bumblebee that they used from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and they actually like would pull audience members to do like a green screen effect or a blue screen effect at the time, and they'd like recreate a scene from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids where the camera would whip around. I'm very passionate. That's one of the reasons why I love this park so much. I love Disney MGM because of that. And when I worked there in 2005, I worked on the backlot tour. And at that point, they had shut down the walking portion of the tour. Like, that was gone. But they still had these rooms set up from the old school days where eventually the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids stuff went away and they replaced it with, like, the 101 Dalmatians live action stuff. They showed how they did props there. And there was a door in the cast member restroom that led to that area. And literally every day I would use the restroom, I would check that door and see if it was unlocked. It was always locked. My last day as a cast member at the backlot tour, I opened it and it opened. And I pulled the handle and it opened up and I went inside. I'm like, oh my God. And they still had props all around. There was a gold Johnny Five from Short Circuit for some reason. And they had like the floor is empty. Like a lot of stuff had been gone, but you could see all like the foot pedals and stuff that they would trigger the things. And it was just like that to me was like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
As like a super nerd for theme parks. And I got to stumble into that. And I'm sure I would have been yelled at by a, you know, manager, but at that point I didn't care.
Hey, Jack, I just had a memory.
What's that?
I was reminded that years and years and years ago, you'll have to help me figure this out, and I've seen the video. It was on VHS. I don't know if it still exists. If it does, I think Gus has it and won't let us have it. But Gus, coworker at the day job, there was a VHS going around of him and Frank, who was his childhood friend, who was the DM in a lot of our Roosty D&D stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was also worked in immersion. And so Frank is very
friend, friend of Rooster Teeth.
Friend of Rooster Teeth, yeah. Of them at, I want to say Disney World or Universal Studios in high school, maybe ninth grade. So this would have been like early 90s. And doing an immersive Star Trek thing
was,
where they went and they dressed up as Star Trek characters and they were on the bridge and it's filmed them like navigating a scenario with Klingons or something?
That was at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Okay.
I think it's actually, there was a Star Trek like experience where they would teleport someone live on stage. And I think Waterworld is now living where that area
is. So that's gone.
That is gone.
Had you ever done it?
Yes, I went there. I mean, I didn't get it, you know, be on stage. But yes, I did see that when I was a kid.
Well, if you ever,
like 93, 94.
If we ever find ourselves doing that as an episode, we should bring on Gus and or Frank and interview them about it.
Oh, man. Stuff like that. I mean, that attraction is 25 years old and it's been gone for like 25 years.
Yeah.
So that stuff is a lot tougher to find.
Find information on.
But I'll see what I can do. Like, that'd be interesting. Maybe we'll do an episode of, like, mini stuff, where it's like, you know, we don't have
like
a lot
quick
of big
hits.
Facts.
Yeah. I wonder if we could get, if he didn't destroy it, I wonder if we could get a hold of that tape.
Oh, man.
And watch it.
Man, I posted my video. I found a VHS of me doing the Great Movie Ride show. And that was one of the first things I posted. Maybe I'll put that on the annual
YouTube
pass.
Channel.
YouTube
That's a great
channel.
Idea. That's a great idea.
Speaking of which, we have a YouTube channel now. There's not, as of right now, there's no content on it yet, because we're still prepping it. Because I want to launch it with a bunch of stuff. But if you go to youtube.com/annualpass, you can go ahead and subscribe now. And you'll be one of the first to see when we get some content up there. Because, you know, we're going to Florida. Maybe we're going to Halloween Horror Nights. We're definitely going to shoot some video when we're out there for that. So, anyway, that was a weird aside.
yeah, we're about an hour into this podcast. We should probably get to it.
So, that's pretty much all the information I have. The world's longest running choreographed stunt show. Obviously, stunt shows now are a big thing. This is one of the first kind of big stunt shows. Like, you see like the Wild West stunt shows like Six Flags and stuff. But this was a big, elaborate thing with tons of people working on it. Now that's not as uncommon. You know, there's the Sinbad show, there's Waterworld, like there's lots of stuff like that. But this was kind of the first of its kind. So anyway, Jeff, are you ready to join me in the amphitheater and watch the Indiana Jones epic stunt spectacular?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Jeff!
Yeah.
We're here at Disney MGM Studio. No, or Disney Hollywood Studios. That's always MGM to me. We're at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and we're going to go see the Indiana Jones epic stunt spectacular.
Yeah, that sounds stress-free. Let's do it.
All right, so we're walking underneath the giant Indiana Jones cutout outside. He's got a whip in his hand, and we're going to sit down. It's a big amphitheater, Jeff. Where do you want to sit? Because we got like 2,000 seats
is
here.
Is there a splash zone?
No splash zone.
Front row.
No water, just fire. Front row? Okay. Yeah. All right, so we'll sit down. So the pre-show is going on right now, and they actually have like a casting director out there, and they're pulling people from the audience. We won't do that this time. Maybe next time. Maybe the second time.
I don't want to go in.
You don't want to volunteer? Because they like bring you up and they make you do goofy stuff, and then those people, like, they're going to be part of the show later. So we'll see them later. But okay. All right, so the casting director's left. All right, it's quiet. Ooh, look at this spooky set in front of us, Jeff. It looks really cool. You can see it's like this crazy Peruvian temple, and it's all lit up and smoky and scary, and the music's all like ooh and spooky, and are you ready for this, Jeff?
I'm ready.
Oh, look at Andy.
There he is.
Andy popped in from the ceiling. He's on
was that
rope.
Really him?
That's Indiana Jones, Jeff.
Dude, that looked hard.
Look at that. He dropped out. Okay, wow, Indiana Jones is right there, Jeff. Where it's like the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Dang.
Yeah, so here he is. He's looking around, and now he's going to wander around. He's got his fire. He's got his torch, and he's reading something, and it says, oh, there's the hidden golden idol somewhere. And Indy's just walking, and all of a sudden.
Are we hearing narration or anything? Or are we
no,
just,
it's just spooky, we're just watching. Spooky music. Now we're just watching Indy. He's like, oh, there's bad stuff over there, Jeff. That's bad.
That's real fire, huh?
That is real fire.
Hickey, I heard.
Yeah. Oh, he's seeing there's stuff on the floor, Jeff. There's stuff on the floor. He's reading it, and it says, like, be careful where you step. Whoa, there's spikes popping up.
Whoa.
He's stepping and there's spikes kicking up. Almost hit him in the face.
Has anyone ever been spiked?
I don't know. We have to find out. Oh, he's running. Oh, there's so many spikes after him. Oh, my gosh. He made it. He's alive. He's okay, Jeff. He's okay.
I hope there's not a spike there.
There's no spikes there. Oh, but there's someone dead. There's someone in a spike right next to him. That's spooky.
That really drives it home.
And look at him. Oh, no! Oh! And he fell down a pit!
God! He fell like Kelsey Grammer off that stage!
Oh, good Lord! Oh, look. Oh, no. He's okay. He's using the rope,
though. He's turning to smoke!
No, he's using the rope, Jeff. He's safe. He last minute, he grabbed onto the rope. Now he's climbing back up.
Is he?
He's okay. He's back up, all right? Now, there's these creepy statues with like giant axes above now, and he's being careful. Okay, that first one didn't go. It didn't go, Jeff, and now he's just like, oh, all right, he's making sure that everything looks okay.
It's
I guess they were
fine.
That was okay.
Whoa!
Whoa, axes! Oh my gosh! Whoa! Whew. That was close, Jeff.
Was the first one supposed to fall too?
No, the first one stays up.
Oh, it's tricky.
It throws you off. It's a red herring. It's a red herring. There it is, Jeff. The golden idol.
Yeah, it is.
It's like from the beginning of the movie.
Here
right?
we go.
Okay, so he's looking at it. He's eyeballing it. And it's like, oh, man, look at that. It's real shiny and stuff.
Now, this is actually the idol from the film, right?
It's actually an exact replica. Yeah. It's not the one used in the movie, but it's an exact replica. All right, he's got his bag of sand, and he's going to weigh it, and it's going to be like, okay, he's got dump out a little bit because he's eyeballing it.
Yeah.
He's checking it out. All right. Oh, he did the swap, Jeff. He did the swap.
All right, easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Nothing bad. The pedal still went down, Jeff. What happened? Why did the pedestal go down? What?
That's not good.
Uh-oh, there's fire. Oh my gosh, everything's on fire. Like it's crazy. The floor's opening up and it's bad. The skull thing on the side of the stage, Jeff, is open. What's going on?
That's not a good sign, Jeff.
That's not a good sign. Indy, he's looking back there. Oh my gosh! Oh, there's a giant boulder rolling toward him.
It's gonna hit him. It hit him. He's definitely gone.
And oh, well, look, oh, the director, the stagehands are all there. They're popping up and saying, hey, he's fine! Yay! He's okay, Jeff. It was all movie magic.
So it didn't kill him.
It didn't kill him. The scene is over, and now we have the director out. Look at him. He's out there. He's talking. He's talking to the stunt actor there, the stunt indie, and they're just discussing what's going on. They kind of show off everything going, and everything is going to slowly start. The spikes go back down. The floor settles up again, and now they're just kind of talking about what they do, about movie magic and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
And so, we get introduced to Indy here, and look, there's just two guys pushing the boulder back up the ramp, Jeff.
Those guys are... very strong.
Very, very strong dudes. Very strong dudes.
That's a lot of stone.
They're going to set up for the next scene, Jeff. So at this point...
I believe the director has a Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah, the director... So they brought out... Hey, remember those people we saw at the beginning of the show, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Like before the show started, they were casting. They've got them all out now. And so now...
So happy that's not us.
Look, but they're all dressed up.
Right, just so shaking now, all the spiders out of their clothes.
the director, was walking them through, like this, the casting director, talking about like, oh, we need you to react. Like for an upcoming scene, we need you to react like big. And so I'm like, oh, be crazy and wild and have fun. And then in the background, you can see they're actually like moving the props around, moving those. Look at those stages they're moving, Jeff.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah, it's actually really
cool.
We're not
in
really
Peru cool. at all anymore.
No, so it's opening up.
Now we're at a castle.
And so that back behind there, you can see it's open up to that market scene. It's like they're prepping for the market scene.
The market scene.
And they've got like all the stunt action. Look how many people are out there, Jeff.
That's a lot. That's significant.
There's a whole
lot. You said there's 2,000 people in the stadium?
In the stadium, yeah. And so they're getting prepped for it. And so the director's coming out talking about movie magic and how they do it. You can see all the different props they're using and stuff. They've got all the, they're getting the cast all set up and everything. And let's get to it. So here we go. So now it's a new scene, Jeff, and we got a truck pulled up and we've got some people. Indy's out there with Marion Ravenwood now. And they're trying to hide from the bad people, right?
Yeah.
So you can see Indian.
They're hiding while watching people do tumbling.
There's like gymnastics people. Like that's pretty cool. And there's the bad guy. He's one of the bad guys. They're all getting all swords now. And
typical Moroccan street gymnastics.
Well, they pushed Indy and Marion to the middle. Uh-oh. Now it looks very threatening, Jeff. Now they're fighting. Well, Indy's pulled out his whip, Jeff. He's whipping them around.
He should have just shot him with the.
And they're all fighting. With Marion's in the corner. She's fighting guys too. Like it's a big old fight. Like look how choreographed. Look at the song.
Oh,
he
got that one guy to stab his friend.
Oh man. So yeah, it's crazy. Oh, now they're climbing up ladders now, Jeff. They're getting up. They got a lot of places to go. Look, they're chasing him up the side of the building, Jeff. Wow. Oh, guys, people are falling. Guy fell through the roof, Jeff.
I don't remember any of this from the movie.
Oh man, it's a big elaborate scene. And now there's Indy and Marion. They're gonna go from like building to building. Whoa!
Oh, that's really cool.
Indy fell. Oh man, Marion was much more clean about it, but
yeah,
Indy fell down. So now they're gonna climb up. Whoa! Look at the guy on the ladder, Jeff. Indy's pushing the guy off the ladder. He punched the guy in the face. Now Marion's like, no, because there's a guy at the bottom
pushing the ladder back. Pushing the ladder.
And then
back
look,
up.
Marion's got a pan. Oh, she hit Indy, and then she hit the guy. Oh my God!
I don't
think
he's getting up from that. Yeah.
Look at that fall.
He probably fell 30 feet.
Look at that. Well, so Marion and Indy are on the top of the building now. Oh, they're being surrounded. Uh-oh. That's not good. Where are they going to go, Jeff? They got to get down somehow.
I don't
somehow.
Know what they're going to do. The ladder's gone.
Where are they going to go? They're holding hands. Here we go. Whoa! Look at that fall!
Oh, they jumped to their death.
They jump. They're actually okay. They made it.
No, they're alive.
They popped out now. That's great. Oh, you can see the director and the camera and all that, and there's the X-rays in the background. Look, it's the big guy, Jeff. The big guy with the sword.
Oh, yeah, the guy's filming with a camera from the 1920s.
Yeah, look. Okay, so.
All right, here's the moment.
They grab Marion. Oh, no, Marion went away in a truck, Jeff.
They put it, in the movie, they put it in a basket.
And he just shot the big guy. Oh, look at there. Now it's a big shootout. There's a lot of people with guns and stuff. They're all shooting and stuff. Okay, so now they're resetting for the scene. Okay, they weren't. The director wasn't happy with that, Jeff. So they're going to reset. The director says he wanted to do the whole driveway scene again, Jeff. All right,
okay.
Ready? All right, so here we go. We're doing it again. They're driving away, and he's shooting the guy. The guy did a fall off the building. Ah, he fell. Ah, splat. And okay, here comes the truck around the corner, Jeff. Oh, wait for it. There's a truck. Andy shot it. Oh my gosh, the truck flipped upside down and caught fire.
That's a cool stunt.
Oh my gosh, and they're got the fire extinguishers out. No, there's Marion. She's fine.
Is there anybody in that truck?
I don't know. Maybe it's a movie magic. Possibly.
Where did Miriam come out from?
She was in the back of the truck.
That truck did a full flip.
It did a flip, Jeff. That's wild. That's wild. All right, so they're done with this scene. Whew, that was big. So they got to prep for the next one. So now they're going to talk with the extras again. Because they talk about like all the fightings and like the fake hitting and everything and how they get punched and everything. So they're going to bring out some extras to show how they do that. And so the actress who plays Marion, she's going to demonstrate. There was this one guy who wasn't really paying attention, and she's going to show him how they do it. And oh my gosh, she actually attacked the guy, Jeff.
Oh, wow.
She attacked the guest. He's like, he was just in the audience, and she punched him.
That's a lawsuit.
That's so cruel. Like, okay, so it's okay. She's going to show how oh, she punched him in the belly, Jeff. She punched him. Oh, she punched him in the head.
Wow, she hit him really hard.
Oh, then she's she kicked him in the face. Oh, look at he rolled over all crazy.
He did a cartoon flop.
Jeff, that was a plant. That wasn't a real guest. Can you believe it?
I'm going to be honest, Jack. I had an idea.
So they're showing off how they do all the stunt work and everything. It turns out that guy was actually a plant the whole time. Oh, my gosh. Who would have thought Disney would come out and lie to us like that?
I guess I would.
All right, Jeff, we're prepping for the last scene. Here we go. So this is the scene in the dunes. I think it's North Africa, right? And
okay.
So this is the plane scene. You see the big dude with the...
The big bald dude with the mustache.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy's got hair, but he's still pretty big, and they're bringing the plane out. That's a real plane. Look at that thing moving. Those propellers going. That's wild. So Indy and Marion are trying to get out of here, right? So they're gonna hijack this plane. Look, there goes the pilot. He doesn't look too happy. And look, Indy and Marion are on it now. Whoa, they've been spotted. They've been spotted, Jeff. That's not good.
No.
And so now they're shooting. Oh, so Marion's up there. Oh, Indy's gonna fight this guy. And Marion's not looking too happy about it. Oh no. And so Marion's inside. And look, they're shooting at her. And the door closed. Now she's locked inside and the plane's moving, Jeff.
This seems very dangerous.
This is very dangerous. Now Indy and this big dude are fighting around the plane. Oh no, they knocked over the gas thing. So there's gas and there's fire, Jeff. Marion's shooting people inside the plane.
I have a question.
What's that?
How do they do this in the rain?
They don't.
So anytime it rains, they shut the show down?
Yeah, or they won't do this bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so the plane's spinning around in circles. There's a truck showing up. Oh, Marion's got that gun, though. So she's going to fire. Oh, she shot all the people, Jeff. She shot all the people, and the Indy and the big guy are still fighting down there. And oh no, Indy's been knocked down. The big guy's there.
Yeah, that dude's too much.
Propeller!
No, that's.
Oh no.
That was very well done.
Oh no. So he got hit by the propeller and got eviscerated, Jeff.
Evaporated. He's gone.
So Indy's going to get in. He's got to get Marion. Now there's fire everywhere because the gas
that's
tanker.
All that's left of the guy is the flammable parts.
So he got Marion out. Here we go. So Marion, she's going to jump out. And Indy and Marion, watch this, Jeff. You ready for this? They're
going to
jump fire. Woo! And then all of a sudden, look at that. Boom! All the fire, all the pyrotechnics, everything's on fire. It's all exploded. And cut. That's it. That's a wrap. We've done it. We have finished. The Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular. All the cast is out. They're all waving, and everyone's okay. Everyone's safe, and that's it. Enjoy your day at the Disney Hollywood Studios. Thank you for coming.
Every single thing about that stunt show that I saw was epic, except for the jump over the fire at the end, which was more like a skip.
A little hop over the fire. So that is it. That is the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular. There's also two Indiana Jones gift shops as well you can go to and pick up your fedora and whip if you'd like. So shout out to DLP Welcome for the Indiana Jones video that we use here. So it is a really, really good stunt show.
Yeah,
I will say. It's been going for, since dang near park opening back in 1989. This thing's been going for like 30 years now at this point. And they haven't really messed with it much at all. Like I said, it has remnants of the whole, this is a working studio. This is how they do it. So they've got, 16-millimeter film cameras and stuff, things that aren't in use now. The show is currently off, right now. So since COVID has happened, all the live stuff they've taken out, anything with actors. And it's not running right now. Should be coming back. There have been some disputes with, live-action people and whatnot. Hopefully it comes back because it is a really good show.
Well, also, just for the people that work, can you imagine on your resume, it's like, what do you do? Like, I'm Indiana Jones. Well, yeah, but what? I got one skill.
You're hired. The only major refurbishment in the whole show was in 2000, and that was to work on the queue and also kind of give it a new coat of paint, because at that point it was over 10 years old. And the actual show itself, the actual, like, the operation of the show hasn't been altered at all.
They don't need to. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Maybe jump over the fire a little more.
One change in 2004, the plane and the trucks and stuff, they actually had some Nazi symbols on them. The swastika was on those things, and they got rid of those. So now those have all been replaced with the, it's called Balkan Cruise, I think, which is like the cross. And so, yeah, it's a little less intense.
Less in your face.
Yeah. Let's see here. This is the first theme park attraction to use a computer-based show control system in conjunction with a custom-made programmable logic controller to trigger, control, and sequence complex live events in real time, controlled by the actors in many cases. So when Indy is going around like those spikes and stuff, there's actually pads on the floor that he steps on that will like trigger them. So he's in control of that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
It's the first time anything like that had ever been used in a stunt show. And then there's also a booth where they can control other stuff too. So like the fire, the big explosions, they can trigger it, and there's actually music that will, like, they've got it synced up to a point where, like, it'll continue until they're ready to launch off fireworks and things. So it's kind of cool. No one had really done that before, and this began a live like a trend in stunt shows in, like, Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, where they started doing more stuff like that. And so that's pretty big.
Do you think the age of stunt shows, like new stunt shows, is behind us? Do you think there'll be, like, can you see them adding? Because I remember you mentioned there was like a Bourne one for a while.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
the Indiana Jones. The Fast and the Furious was some sort of a show.
They never had a Fast and the Furious show. There's Lights, Motors, Action, which is a car show.
Yeah, the car show.
Which is really, really cool. It's only in Paris now.
Do you think that they'll, like, be another show like that in the future?
I've got a feeling there will be, mainly because shows like that typically have large amphitheaters where you can just push in a lot of people. As a matter of fact, this amphitheater is the largest one, I think, at all Disney parks. It has 2,000 guests can sit in it. I take that back. The Fantasmic Amphitheater at Hollywood Studios can actually hold like 5,000 or 6,000, maybe more than that. But this one, it's covered, it's indoors, or it's not indoors, but it's covered, and it holds 2,000 people. And actually, the amphitheater there has been used for a lot of productions. There is a cheerleading competition that every year has its finale at the Hollywood Studios.
Oh.
And so every year they use that amphitheater to do the cheerleading competition. I remember it every year. I want to say it was like earlier in the year, because you just see like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cheerleaders coming through, like high school, middle school cheerleaders, and it's just, you know, it's kind of a nightmare. Anytime you get groups like that, it was just like, oof. And they're all like cheering and yelling in the park and stuff. But anyway, that's pretty cool. That amphitheater's been used for tons of other stuff, a lot of like live shows and things. So I've got some fun facts from DisneyLists.com.
Okay.
This show has the largest moving sets in history. The sets that make up the stunt experience are quite impressive. The sets weigh around 100 tons each, and they are moved around and put into place for each section of the show that's being performed. The giant rolling ball is 12 feet in diameter and on its own, and it weighs around 440 pounds.
Those dudes were pushing it like it was nothing.
Well, it's inflatable, too. It's like it's a big bouncy. I mean, it's still very heavy. It could do a lot of damage to you, but the sets are very detailed, meant to be seen as replicas of scenes from the famous Indiana Jones movies, so it's no wonder why they are so heavy. Also impressive, the attraction is one of the attractions of Walt Disney World properties with the most special effects and mechanical parts. So there really is a lot that goes into these attractions. I don't know who wrote this, but anyway, yeah. So those are huge. Like the actual sets. I mean, we saw they're like, they go in pieces, and that's one of the most impressive things is seeing how they move it around during the show. I really, really like that.
Very quickly, I might add.
Yeah. Also in 1989, the very first show they did, so like the very official opening, George Lucas was there and Michael Eisner were there too. So
it's
kind of cool for George Lucas. I imagine think about being Indiana Jones performing in front of George Lucas. That's got
to
be big.
What hotel do you think George Lucas stays at when he goes to Florida to watch something like that?
I don't know. I imagine whatever hotel he wants to stay at.
I bet he buys a house just for while he's there.
One night only. It's always been Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular. But one night on August 14th, 2010, they changed up the show. It was Star Wars Celebration, and this was the year they were altering the Star Tours attraction. So it was called the Last Flight to Endor or Last Night in Endor, because that's where the Star Tours would end, was in Endor. They did Raiders of the Lost Jedi Temple of Doom. So it was actually, supposedly it was a fan film where it was like Indy, like a guy who was a huge fan of Indy and a guy who was a huge fan of Star Wars, and they blended them. So like Indiana Jones at the beginning, instead of getting the golden idol, was a golden lightsaber. and they had like the marketplace, like Greedo was there, and they had people dressed up, and so it was a big mix of things. So it was like Leia and like Han Solo showed up at one point. It's really, really cool. And so like there was a lightsaber fight with Darth Vader. So
but they only did it that one time?
Only the one time.
Ugh.
So there's some video of it out there if you want to check it out. And apparently I know George Lucas was there, and I think maybe some other like people from Star Wars were actually there for that event, which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. It is also the longest running show at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Not shocking. It's actually, let me think, it might be the only remaining opening, technically it's not opening day, but from opening day, man, that might be like the only thing that actually still exists.
Really?
Or at least, I mean, it was there for technical rehearsals, but yeah, Great Movie Ride's gone, Backlot Tour is gone. Wow, that it may actually be it. That might be the only thing that still remains from the opening day that is still in the same form it was. Like, there was a Monster Sound show that has been changed to a whole bunch of different things. It was a Drew Carey thing. I don't even know what it is right now. Star Tours wasn't there yet. So, yeah, I think that might be it. So this might be, like, the last remnant of the opening day attractions at Disney MGM Studios.
A relic of the past.
Yeah.
Time gone.
So that's pretty much all I have about the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular.
I got to be honest, it was more than enough. I feel like I'm well-versed.
All right, Jeff. Well, are you ready to move on to the Q&A?
I am ready to move on to the Q&A.
So we're trying to rebuild our buffer right now, so yeah. I had to pull some questions from the same episode we pulled the last ones from. So there might be a couple here that kind of repeat, but that's okay. Martinez D181 says, if you could bring one property of your choice to any theme park, what property would it be? I personally would love to have a giant Lord of the Rings area at Universal. And Jeff, you can't say Captain Carrot.
Oh, like entertainment property. I was just thinking of stuff that I own.
Bring your bicycle.
Yeah,
to
I'd drive my car down, I guess.
Yeah, nice.
If I can't say Captain Carrot.
No, you use Captain Carrot enough as is.
You know what I don't see a lot of?
What's that?
Fraggle Rock.
Okay.
I could use some more Fraggle Rock. I was going to say Sesame Street, but that's all educational, so it wouldn't make sense. But I wouldn't, we were talking about Henson earlier.
Yeah.
And in the day, and then I've had Henson on the brain. So maybe some Fraggle Rock.
That'd be kind of cool. Get the dozers in there and stuff. That'd be pretty neat. Even like Labyrinth. I mean, really just like any Henson stuff would be really cool to get in there. For me, I would say, like, before Ghostbusters were in the park and they've left, I would love to see them again.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I would love to see, like, a Men in Black style ride, but, like, Ghostbusters. How cool would that be?
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be my go-to. So
that's a great idea, Jack.
There you go. Put that down. Someone take that and make it happen. Make it happen. Knuckle AV Gaming, I think. At one point, Disney had plans to make the Great Muppet Movie Ride a parody of the Great Movie Ride. I think, did we talk
you
about that?
You mentioned that.
If you were to add Muppets to any other ride, what would it be? If you were going to Muppetize a ride, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good
I've got an easy answer for this one.
Okay, go.
Haunted Mansion.
I was going to say Haunted Mansion.
Muppet Haunted Mansion.
Muppet Haunted Mansion
would
be cool.
How fantastic would that be?
Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. Haunted Mansion. Or Pirates, honestly. Like, really any of those classic kind of slow-moving rides.
Well,
like,
there's been a Muppet Pirate movie.
There was Muppet Treasure Island.
So that would make sense.
With Tim Curry, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it was.
There you go. So you could absolutely do that. But that's a good question. What would you like to see, Muppet Eyes audience? Let us know. Raumo, R-A-U-M-O, says, what's an attraction that seems to be universally loved, but you don't quite get the hype for? Now, I don't know. Do you have anything that you can think of that you're like, I know you're still kind of a novice at this, but have there been any attractions you've been on that you're like, I guess people like it?
Honestly, no. I can't. I don't know that I have an answer. And I would feel disingenuous making one up.
Okay. I've got one.
All right.
Hot take. Right now, everyone loves Pandora at Animal Kingdom, right?
I guess.
That's the Avatar area. It's like the floating mountains
there
and stuff.
Are you not into it?
There is an attraction called Flight of Passage. Not a big fan.
Really?
Not a big fan. It's the motion simulator one where you put on the glasses and it feels like you're flying on the back of this creature. It wasn't for me. People lose their minds for it. They wait in line for like 2.5 hours to ride it. I rode it and I was like, oh, okay. That's all right. Didn't enjoy it at all. So
that's so sad. You just don't like Avatar?
No, Avatar is great. I mean,
you don't like James Cameron?
I mean, I really hate Giovanni Ribisi. you know, he's in that movie. Anyway, Avatar, that's a whole other conversation we can get into. No, something about motion simulators. They don't blow me away anymore. Like, the only ones I really like, I like the Simpsons ride, but even like the Forbidden Journey, the Harry Potter thing, during the motion sim stuff, I have to close my eyes through it. It gets me sick and I'm just like not a fan. And even Avatar is just like, okay, I guess it was okay. So, huh. But people love that attraction. They absolutely love it. And it's
how many times have you ridden it?
Not for me. Just once.
Maybe it's time to try again.
Maybe. I'll give it another shot. I mean, you have to ride it. So we'll have to go on together.
I'm going
to
endeavor to love it and make it my favorite ride.
There's a good restaurant there, actually. So we can check that out. Ventus Noctis says, question, have you ever been to any of the Legolands or do you want to? The California Legoland was my jam as a kid. It's great, but not talked about as much, probably because the rides are aimed at kids or tender stomach Jeffs. But the theming and Lego sculptures are awesome. Dirty secret, I have not been to any of the Legolands.
Okay.
I have not.
Well, I asked you about it. We were in Florida and you went, eh. So I didn't know what? That. Yeah.
Did
you
I say
didn't
that?
Seem interested at all.
Oh, well. I mean, maybe, I was jazzed about Universal at the time. But
you were in the middle of another theme park. So you probably didn't have a lot of spare cycles to think about theme parks you weren't currently in.
But no, I've not been to Legoland. I would love to go, though. I'm a big Lego fan. And so, absolutely. I'd love to go check that out. There's one in California. There's one. They're building one in New York. There's like a Lego hotel in New York or something. But yeah, there's one in Orlando. So at some point, we'll absolutely have to get to it.
I would love to.
All right. And we've got the last question of the week. This week, it's from Disguire. Hi, Jack and Jeff. My name is like disguise, but with an R, so pronounce it however you want. There you go.
Disguiser.
Disguire. Question. As a New Zealander at the bottom of the South Island, I feel a little theme park deprived. New Zealand's biggest theme park is Rainbow's End in Auckland, but there are a few inflatable water parks and things here and there. Lots of tourist activities like lugeing and bungee jumping. If we want to really experience theme parks, we tend to have to go across the ditch to Aussie. So in your infinite wisdom and opinion, Jack and Jeff, do you ever think some big name companies like Disney, Warner Brothers, or the like would open a park in New Zealand? There's plenty of space. I hope you are both doing well and have a wonderful day.
One episode late.
Yeah, we just talked about that last episode.
I just brought that up, that I feel like Australia, and it's not fair, but when I think of Australia and New Zealand, I think of them as a package deal just because of proximity. So when I say one, I mean both, whether I say Australia or New Zealand.
Oceania, I guess.
I agree. I feel like they're getting the shaft.
I got to say, you got Peter Jackson there. How do you not have a Lord of the Rings park?
How?
I mean, there's Hobbiton you can go visit.
Or, I mean, that's not the only thing he did, too. How do you not have a Heavenly Creatures park? How do you not have a Bad Taste park? Right? There's all kinds of...
Oh, my gosh.
What was the one he did with the I Kick Ass for the Lord with the priest?
Oh. Not vampires. I forget.
I have to look it up.
Oh my gosh. What was that movie with the big moving cities?
Meet the Feebles.
Oh man.
That's another Peter Jackson movie.
No, The Frighteners. Oh,
The Frighteners is a great
Frighteners
one.
Park. Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we could that you know get a hold of Peter. Get a hold of Peter J. All right, Jeff, what you got here? I got a Infernal Engines. Is that what it is?
No.
No, Mortal Engines. Mortal Engines is the one with the giant moving cities and stuff.
That's not lovely, all of his movies.
Give me a Lovely Bones, right?
Hold on. Lovely Bones. Ooh, that's a sad movie. Dead Alive. Dead Alive.
Dead Alive. That's
Dead
right.
Alive. I want a Dead Alive world.
You do Lord of the Rings theme park, and then you have like a Halloween Horror Nights where it's Dead Alive.
And I would also like to point out, this is in every way a family-friendly podcast. It's maybe the only one in our company. We want to keep it family-friendly. Those are not family-friendly movies.
No.
I was throwing out there. Bad Taste, Meet the Feebles, Dead Alive. So
Frighteners is okay, though. It's a little bit intense.
It's
but
scary, but it's certainly not gross.
Yeah. So if you're...
They did a thing in The Frighteners. When Michael J. Fox is in that... It's like he's in that house, and I think Jake Busey is in it as well, or young Jake Busey, where they like... They had hands push out through a wall.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You can kind of see
that. That was the poster, I think.
Yeah.
That
was so scary.
Yeah, it was pretty freaky.
So scary at the time.
It's good stuff, though. But yeah. So as far as that goes, get a hold of Peter Jackson and ask him nicely to build a theme park with all of his money from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So you make that happen. So there you go. But yes, I would love to see a theme park out there. It'd be great. I mean, there are some in Australia that Jeff and I are going to go to at some point, and we'll do live shows out there. But, you know, until then. Get a hold of PJ.
Maybe we'll get over the rainbow.
There you go. So, typically this is the point of the show.
Is
where
that what it's called? End of the rainbow? What did you say it was?
What's that?
It was the one that New Zealand. They said that we have it up north. It's end of the rainbow? Rainbow's Edge? Rainbow's End?
Rainbow's End in
Rainbow's
Auckland.
End. Okay, there you
so,
go.
So, I haven't been there. I was actually in Auckland. I didn't know that. Or no, I was in Wellington. I haven't been to Auckland, I don't think. Or maybe, I don't know.
Sounds like a reason to go.
Absolutely.
Rainbow's In.
New Zealand is beautiful, so absolutely get out. I love the fact we're getting comments from people in Australia, New Zealand. That makes me happy. That we are global, Jeff.
Yeah, it's cool, man. That's how the internet works. They have access as well, so.
All right, so typically during the show, this is where I ask you, the community, a question, and we answer last week's question or whatever it would be. But we're filming a couple episodes and trying to rebuild our buffer, so I have no answers from the previous episode. But I do have a question for you that you can answer, and we'll get to in a future episode. My question this week for you, the community, and Jeff Ramsey is, what is your favorite stunt show? I figured we keep the stunt themed. What is that, Jeff?
Easy. It's the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. Is that what it's called?
Epic Stunt Spectacular.
Epic Stunt Spectacular.
You dropped an epic. How could you drop an epic? There's a lot out there. You know, you get the Bourne Stuntacular, which is an incredible.
Incredible.
The technology in that one is absolutely insane.
Incredible. There's a Fast and the Furious car show. Incredible.
Maybe not that one. That's not Fast and Furious. This is the Lights Bonus Action
There's
show.
A Lights Bonus Action show. There's a monster one. Incredible. I don't remember the others.
So, anyway, let us know in the comments, and I will randomly select someone who eventually at some point I will mail you an annual
or mail you something.
A theme park map autographed by Jeff and I. So, that's going to do it this week. My voice is going. Man, my voice is going. And I've got to do a whole other podcast.
You know what you should do?
What's that?
You're over-promising on these maps, and we're going to run out of them. So, I propose this.
Okay.
Once we run out of maps, like sending audience members' maps, when they answer the question, we select their question randomly or answer randomly. Invoices. Just send out, if we run out of maps, just send out invoices. Just invoice the audience.
There you go. Just let them know. Here you go. Here's an IOU for future stuff. So that's going to do it this week. Jeff, do you feel like you learned something in today's episode?
Absolutely.
That's good. Nothing important though, right?
No, tons of important stuff.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
What was the most important thing you learned?
Oh gosh. Well, I learned that the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular.
Nailed it.
It's important to use the word epic.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to drop that. I learned that the big ball is about 450 pounds and it's inflated. I learned that the sets are about 100 tons each and they're able to very impressively move them. It's a very complex show. It was done so well out the gate that they really didn't even have to modify it or change it much other than to throw a coat of paint on every once in a while. I learned that the guy who was associated with being Indiana Jones is still involved in that. I could keep going.
All right. No, you're doing this. Is fantastic. It makes me happy to hear that you're actually listening to me.
I pay attention.
That's good.
I learned that the place seats 2,000 people and it's covered, but it is outdoors. I learned that in 2010, they did a Star Wars Indiana Jones mashup. Jack, I learned that at the launch of this thing, which was about 5 months in 89, 5 months after the place, the whole, what do you call it, park opened, that George Lucas and Michael Eisner went in attendance. Mm-hmm. Which in itself is crazy. I learned that George Lucas bought a house to stay in while he was there.
He may have made that up.
There's all kinds of who can. I could keep going, but that's probably it.
Well, this is great. That's like the too long didn't listen. You know, of the episode.
The TLDR of this episode.
TLDL of the episode. So, well, thank you very much, Jeff. I'm glad you were listening and you're paying attention. Mm-hmm. So that makes me happy. So that's gonna do it this week. Make sure to follow us on our social media stuff. We're annual_pass. Make sure to grab a shirt. Store.roosterteeth.com. We got shirts. We got hats. We got a bunch of other stuff. We got a poster coming out soon. We have Halloween stuff coming out soon. Grab all that. It is super, super awesome and very. I'm so happy every time I see someone wearing that stuff out and, you know, with photos and at parks and stuff. I still haven't seen anyone at Tokyo Disney Sea yet wearing it. So hopefully we'll get someone. I don't even know if Tokyo Disney Sea is open at this point.
Fingers crossed. If it's not, hop a fence, take a photo.
Tell Jack we say hi at Halloween Horror Nights as well. And and that'll do it this week. Thank you very much, everyone. You guys are fantastic. Seriously, the best community in all of Rooster Teeth. And we will see you next time for more Annual Pass. Bye.
Love you.